Let Ferguson's knowledgeable product experts kick off your next kitchen or bath project with the latest in touch and hands-free faucets, high-performance gas ranges, or low-decibel dishwashers. They're really quiet. Request your appointment today at FergusonShowrooms.com. The best decision ever.
Visit Ferguson Bath Kitchen and Lighting Gallery in Nashville to discover a wide selection of Whirlpool appliances. From refrigeration to laundry, there's no brand better than Whirlpool. Find out more at FergusonShowrooms.com.
They said, hey, girl, what do you think you're doing? They told me, no, girl, you gotta pay my Tuesday. Now watch me put my hair.
Tuesday 180 served up by Wendy's. No, this is not our normal music that we would play on the show, but Eric Decker's enjoying it.
Sure am.
His wife, Jessie. Eric, good to see you, man.
Good to see you as well.
Former Titans wide receiver. Do you say former Patriot?
I don't think I was there long enough for that. I dropped in for a quick visit.
You're doing a little bit of everything on Radio Row. The players will come through and they'll hit all the radio shows. You're doing like Extra and a lot of the entertainment shows as well. And I know that's kind of the, I don't want to say next step, but that's certainly a branch of the tree you're trying to get into.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think... football is my backbone. That's what I know. It's what I've done for a career. So obviously, I'd like to be able to talk football, but also entertainment. Just it brings a lot of opportunity. And you know, we had a reality TV show. We've been in the entertainment, so it's an easy segue for me as well. So I'd like to be able to kind of get my feet wet in both.
So what's the dream gig, or is that kind of part of what you're figuring out?
I think the dream gig really is just to kind of have a show where we get to talk about everything, sports, music, life, and, you know, it doesn't have to be, because sports sometimes it gets so serious and critical and entertainment, like, yeah, we're in kind of the pop culture, but some of the scenes we're not in Nashville. Nashville's different than in L.A.
Are you guys Nashvillians?
Yeah, that's home for us. We love Nashville. It's a great community. I mean, it's growing, as you guys know. Our kids love the school. And that's one of the reasons, you know, why, honestly, I wanted to stay home this fall, is because we found that comfort level, and we got three young babies, and I just wanted to be around it.
Eric Decker, our guest here on the Midday 180. How long were you actually with New England?
I think someone told me 20 days.
Okay.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
So, off-season's going on. Yep. I don't know how many routes you were actually running or what you were doing or what we're not doing, but the Patriots call, and you joined them briefly.
Yep.
When did you know, you know what, it's just not going to sink in the way I thought it would?
Well, after my time in Tennessee, went through free agency, didn't land anywhere, took a few visits, just was looking for the right spot. Because at that time, you know, it was a hard transition for me going from New York, getting cut in June, and finding the team, you know, late. And coming to Tennessee, it was nice. It was convenient, but I also thought, you know, it's a place I can earn a position. And after that, it's like, I don't want to be the guy that goes from team to team, year to year contract. Like, I felt I financially set myself up. I did what I wanted to, accomplished some fun things. I wanted to, you know, give my kids some roots. And I wanted to be in one place. And that was when I figured, you know, I got to New England. I worked out maybe three times, ran around like three times all offseason. I mean, that tells you that I wasn't mentally and emotionally invested in the sport anymore. And it was an eye-opener when I got to New England. I was like, this is time for me to walk away.
You had to say yes when
yeah,
they called?
I couldn't say no. I mean, I was looking for a championship caliber type team to join. And unfortunately, you know, I was already kind of checked out before I went there. And, you know, I had to go there. And I, you know, I didn't want to have the what ifs. And I'm happy I did. I got to, you know, meet a lot of great guys. I learned a lot about football sitting in the Bill Belichick meetings, so that experience will definitely play a factor on me.
Who knew sooner, you or them, in those three days or however long?
You know what I'll tell you, the first week I was there, I called my wife, I'm like, I'm ready to come home. You know, I'm like, I'm writing my retirement speech, like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And she's like, no, you got to stick it out for another week. It's just probably because you're used to being home, and this is just a different feeling. And I called my agent the next week, and he's like, give it one more week. At that point, my physical performance is failing because I'm not, like, out there giving it everything I got. And that's really what was the eye-opener for me.
What was it? Was part of it a challenge also? You said you'd worked out about three times before you went to New England to kind of challenge yourself, say, let me go see if I can do this and accomplish it even without a full offseason.
Yeah, it was, because you got that ego and you feel like, you know, I've done this. This is like riding a bike. But ultimately, it isn't. You got to put the work in, and you got to be all in. And that was something I was not.
Eric Decker, our guest. We're far enough removed from your year in Nashville with the Titans to ask this question. When you were brought in, you were the big red zone threat at receiver. Marcus Mariota's numbers in the red zone were through the roof.
Right.
And so you joined us in training camp. We were talking all kinds of red zone numbers and how you two would pair up. It never really was able to sink in the way everyone thought it would. Part of that, and I'm sure there are a number of factors, but are you surprised that you didn't get the ball more in the red zone?
Well, my understanding was, you know, that they had their roster. They had their guys that have been working with Marcus all offseason. I thought I was going to be a situational guy. Yeah, coming in on third downs and red zone, and that's kind of what my ability is to have success with is in those positions. But, you know, Corey got hurt, and unfortunately camp was going great with Marcus and I, and then I rolled my ankle when we were, you know, playing Carolina or practicing versus Carolina, and that kind of set me back big time. And the way the season kind of unfolded, you know, it was hard because it wasn't up to what my standards were. I'm sure what other people's standards were, and kind of stumbled through the year and didn't get opportunities, like you said, in the red zone where I hope I would have.
I know it was a short time in New England, but you've played with Peyton Manning, you've played with Tom Brady, you've been around them, you see how they work. From a personality standpoint, from that quarterback position, what is it like with Marcus Mariota compared to those guys?
Well, Marcus is a competitor. The guy is going to work his tail off. He's going to do the right thing. He's a great leader as far as he builds relationships with guys. You know, the biggest difference is obviously his experience. He hasn't been in the league as long. He's a different type of player. You know, you got to get him out of the pocket a little bit, let him use his feet. If he can stay healthy, I think, you know, Tennessee has some big years, but that's the hardest thing about this sport is staying healthy for 16 games and building the right guys around him. But, you know, I made a comment earlier saying that he's not the vocal leader. He's not the guy that's going to get up there and be the tail of the wand, like, let's go, guys, we got to do this. But, you know, he's gonna lead you in by his mannerisms, by the way he studies, the way he works, the way he conducts his business. So, in that sense, you know, he does have a lot of potential.
Did you buy Jim Schwartz's house?
I did.
he give you a good deal?
No, he gave me a terrible deal. You know what's funny is I was in New York, and the fourth preseason game we always play Philadelphia. And he walks up, he goes, hey, you put an offer on my house. I go, yeah, you going to take it? He goes, no, that was a low offer. I'm like, all right, well, I'm not moving because I don't need it that bad. But, yeah, we ended up moving into their place. It's a beautiful home.
Is it weird that Paul knows that?
That's a little creepy. What's going on over there?
Listen, I you know, try to.
You got some insiders, Paul?
I might. I might have some insiders. Can you break down the game-winning touchdown in the Kansas City playoff game?
Just a great play, a great call, because they were playing a lot of man coverage. We motioned over. I think it was a four-receiver set, you know, so basically had the middle of the field to work with, and it was one-on-one with a former Minnesota Gopher on the other side and just stuck him to the corner and came back to the post, and Marcus threw a great ball. And that was a good feeling because I remember that first quarter dropping one hit me right in the chest, so I made up for that.
What are you doing in Atlanta other than just making the rounds media-wise? What's your plans?
You know, really just catching up with some old teammates. This feels so good to be back. I went to the New England press conference as part of media representation last night, but it was good just to say hi to guys. You know, it really is a fraternity. It's a brotherhood that is unlike anything because of what you go through together. And so to be able to say hi to everybody, to be able to catch up and just talk ball is what I love.
You can make the rounds pretty easily, too, and see a ton of people here that you played with or crossed paths with, right?
Yeah, I feel like I played, you know, with enough teams and played with enough guys to see a lot of them out there.
You may hate this question. I apologize before I ask. Was that Titans team unified on the anthem stuff, or was there some inside discord that was hard to resolve given what was going on in the moment?
Well, listen, you know, we're there together – We have one common goal, to win football games, to do it together. But ultimately, we're all individuals. We all have our beliefs. We all have our stances. And, you know, unfortunately, things can be perceived in different ways, and people can write stories in different ways. But we all respect one another and what we believe. But ultimately, you know, that was a tough time, I think, for everyone across the league. We've had conversations on our teams, and we had a lot of player meetings. Like, how do you feel? But, you know, I got military in my family. I think it's part of the game. I think we should all respect and stand for the anthem and be out there if that's what we choose to do. If we choose to stay inside the team, I think, you know, you stay united, but it needs to be communicated a little better, I say.
You were gone when Rishard Matthews did what he did. Were you surprised to hear what he did? He was unsatisfied with his role. Marcus was hurt. You know, there was a lot of stuff that hadn't come together yet under Vrabel. And a lot of us felt like he bailed. You know, and he said he wanted a better situation. Then he went to the Jets, and he did nothing there. It wasn't a better situation.
So he struggled with an injury, right? Or he was out all
camp and stuff? Yeah, he was coming back from missing the whole offseason.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I think from his perspective, he's thinking, okay, I'm odd man out. I haven't been around. I haven't earned my stripes.
They needed him.
Yeah, and but, you know, at his point, they probably didn't look at him as, okay, we need you, Rishard. You know, and I think he probably he needed to hear that, or he wanted that, and he was wanting that feeling. So the easy thing to do is, you know, find somewhere where someone wants you. And the role that he had when I watched the games, he was chip blocking. He's kind of doing what I was doing at the end of the year, just kind of being in there for a big body, to a check down type role. And, you know, he's had success here in Tennessee for a couple of years. I think he was hoping to get that when he came back.
With your media work here, do you get to interview Kevin Hart or any other celebrities like that?
I haven't been over to SiriusXM yet, no, but with Extra, you get to, you know, Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, Luke Wilson is here, the actor, walking over there with SiriusXM. Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
Old school.
Old school, yeah. What I think of, yeah. Big Backstreet time. Boys, you will not find a bigger Backstreet Boys fan than Chad.
I'm a huge fan.
Is that right?
Huge fan. I walked right past Nick Carter just a minute ago.
He should be following your wife, and he's following the Backstreet
Boys. Did you buy the records?
It was a big. I did. Millennium was one of my favorites back in the day. I was a big fan.
So
purchased
sad.
Purchased all the CDs back in the day. They were
See
CDs.
See what we have to deal with here?
I mean, some of those songs, though, they get stuck in your brain, so I get it.
We're going to play Backstreet Boys the rest of the day.
You found some empathy.
Yeah, your foot will start to move a little bit when you hear a Backstreet Boys tune. They're all catchy.
Eric Decker has been our guest. Great to see you, man, and we'd love to have you in studio at some point during the upcoming months if you're in Nashville.
I would love to. It'd be good repetition for me. And
yeah, that'd be cool.
We'll get you some reps. We'll see you at Preds games, too. I always remember bumping into you at playoff games.
Go Preds.